You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design every Thursday at this time. Repeating Saturday mornings at 9, we're live right now because it's Thursday. Mr. Dennis Prout, good morning, sir.
Awesome. Thank you for that great intro, sir. And I've had, two, three folks tell me this last week, well, we listen to you because you're on with Ron. You know, what can we say?
My family is so nice, aren't they?
Nice. Yes, sirree.
They're nice people.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for listening. We love it. Thursday, as Ron mentioned, rebroadcast on Saturday. If you have a question of a financial nature that's burning in your mind, you must have answered, we'll give it a shot. And our number, if you would, Ron, is?
You can text it to us, and we'll read it on the air. Just 833, it's like an area code, 833-728-1140, 833-728-1140. That number is on our Facebook page, by the way, The Ron Jolly Show. Or call 231 area code. Call us at 947-0023.
Thank you. Joining us as well is Heidi. Heidi Van Cartwright. I don't know why I say Van in there.
Van Cartwright.
It is just Cartwright. Heidi, yes. Cartwright, good morning and welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here today. It's great to be back. I missed a week. So.
Yes, you did.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, managing executive and financial advisor does a great job for us. We were talking yesterday. I think you've been with us now almost 12 years, something like that.
Wow. Something like that.
Long time. Long time. And two, joining us for the stats, Mr. Nathan Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Yes.
Hail, hail.
Director of Client Services and also the financial advisor with us, too. And continuing his education, we're trying to figure out what are we going to do next. So he's also a lead advisor with Edslot and Company. And, man, it's interesting, the amount of information that's coming out right now. Apparently, the Fed has paused in their rate rise game. And lots of back and forth on that, but the major investment houses were saying that they were going to pause, and they were right. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not they continue in their rising game here in the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be very interesting indeed. I from what I'm seeing, most are saying we're at or near the end. Because that's the name of our show, that's what I'm saying. It's what we're talking about here today. So as rate hikes near end, historic investor opportunity may begin. Circle May for the May. Compliance people. May begin. So what we called this week's show was Where's the Beef? We all remember the famous Wendy's ad a couple of decades ago in which an older woman asked where the beef was in her burger. By the way,
where's the beef?
Thank you.
That was her.
Yes. Where's the beef?
Yes, there it is.
Where's the beef?
That's perfect.
They're looking at that big hamburger bun and that tiny little burger. Where's the beef?
Yeah, that was such a new thing. How do they do a square burger? I guess, you know, it's possible in my thinking of Wendy's at the very beginning. But where are the opportunities? Well, opportunities in money market funds, right? Well, not necessarily so. To say this has been an interesting year, and this is directly from Capital Group American Funds, and I think an excellent article because of the points that are brought up. I think you will find this tremendously interesting. To say this has been an interesting year in financial markets is an understatement. Equities have been stronger than most expected. A client said to me 2 days ago, boy, this has been a surprising year.
When you say equities, indeed, you mean
stocks.
Stocks.
Yeah. Stocks. Yep. And the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield is up 0.4% as of September 13th. Hmm. So for the year thus far. So where we are now is where are we now as we head into the home stretch of 23? I believe we're on the cusp of a major transition, says this writer, also a money manager, one where long-term investors can find attractive income opportunities, generally more conservative investments for those who are more conservative. As central banks pivot from restrictive monetary policy to something that looks much more benign, or for those who are really not sure what that means, no real significant effect. Okay. Thank you. Last year was shocking to many in the investment community. Shocking.
Shocking.
Thank you.
It was shocking.
It was.
It was sort of depressing.
It was. Yeah. Sort of. It marked the first time in at least 45 years that both stocks and bonds posted negative returns in the calendar year. Now, we've mentioned kind of moving by this, but they really make a point of this. And, Ron.
Yes.
This graph here.
Yes. I'll hold that up.
I circled 22. Isn't it
graphs
amazing?
Graphs on the radio.
Outlier.
2022 really is on the left, the lower left, yet all the dots go toward the upper right.
Yeah.
If you were to imagine that.
Stocks and bonds. Outlier.
Outlier. One. Stocks and bonds lost in the last 45 years. How many times? One.
Once.
When stocks lost, bonds gained 8 times. Stocks and bonds gained 33 times. Mm. Stocks gains, bonds lost 4 times. Now, we're going to give you a quiz after this radio show to see who got that right, okay? Mm-hmm. Who's listening? Were we wanting to listen? I don't know. Well, give it a shot. Sorry. At least I think I'm funny. Now, battling high inflation, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates aggressively, as we all know. Those hikes hurt absolute returns across the board. The usual role of high-quality bonds to provide diversification from stock market volatility, something investors rely on, broke down. It was sitting by the side of the road and smoking, as it were.
Immobile.
In protest. Smoking in protest. Not to be confused with Nolan's down here. That smoke is fine. Okay, we're fine with that smoke, pretty much. Now, turbulent markets in 22 plus the prospect of relatively high yields in money markets led investors to flock to cash-like alternatives. Now, this is an indicator of what's going on and why you want to know this sort of thing. Inquiring minds and investor minds want to know. We'll put us all together. Money market funds were at an all-time high of $5.6 trillion as of September 6th. According to the Investment Company Institute, an all-time high number. The previous number, I think, was 3.3 million. Given that graph is in my mind, but, you know, I can't show it here on the radio.
Money market accounts are, they pay a range of interest rates?
About five right
now.
They're
probably about five.
Four
okay.
and a half to, well, they do pay a range. I'm sorry, Ron. Okay. Yeah, the best ones are paying about five.
Do you have access to that cash, or is that tied up for a certain amount of time?
Great second question. Yes, usually you can. I mean, he's on a roll. Yes. And we're not talking,
it's almost like we planted him here or something.
I know, exactly. Thank you so much. Money market funds were at an all-time high of $5.6 trillion, according to the ICI. Cash investments still look compelling. They do. I had a conversation this morning with some folks about how high those rates are. you could invest in money market funds, but should you? That's the real question, isn't it? Why should I want to be wary of that is perhaps something you'd want to know. Why should I want to be wary? Now, this is one of those shows, honestly, Ron, I'm thinking, I would love to make this 2 hours. That's not happening, but this could easily be a two-hour show. Yes, Dennis, the way you're going on, I can see how that can happen.
The way you're interrupting yourself, Dennis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stop interrupting yourself. Cash investments still look compelling to many investors today, but, circle but, please.
What?
But the Fed appears to be nearing a turning point. History teaches us this may be an opportune time to shift back to stocks and bonds. Stocks and bonds.
Why?
Nobody knows exactly when the Fed will stop raising rates. However, both markets and the Fed itself project, both the markets that prognosticates about where interest rates are going to be and the Federal Reserve are saying we're near peak policy rates right now. And then they'll decline around 100 basis points, or most people on the street would say, you mean 1%, Dennis? Yes, 1% by the end of 24. Well, should I be
so going up just a little bit more, perhaps, but then starting to come down by the end of next year?
Starting to decline.
Okay.
Well, through next year. So it's not a direct bam in October of next year. It will trend slowly down, as they think. If you believe the Fed is finished or nearly there, what does history tell us? An analysis of the end of the last four Fed hiking cycles. Now, obviously, these cycles don't all mean the same thing. It could be different going forward to satisfy compliance again. It could be different this time. But if it isn't different, cash investments decayed while stocks and bonds flourished. That's what happened the last four times. That's why you should say to yourself, I recognize that golden apple looking at me right there at that high interest rate, but should I jump on that? It may be too easy to do. Too easy. History show cash is decayed when Fed hikes end. Cash went down in terms of value. Sitting in money market funds today may feel comfortable with a roughly 5% yield based on the benchmark 3-month treasury, especially after an extended period of experimental zero interest rate policies during the past global financial crisis. But the benefit of remaining in cash at current yields is eroded by today's moderate inflation. And additionally, these cash-like holdings may see little additional upside as the Fed finishes hiking rates. This is where the math matters. 2 plus 2. Yes, thank you. History shows that in the 18 months after the Fed ended hikes in the last four cycles, yields on cash investments decayed rapidly. The 3-month Treasury yield, now this is where it gets interesting, a benchmark Treasury security, fell an average of 2.5%. That would mean that money market yields would fall the same. So instead of 5, if we go exactly according to the averages, you're down to 2.5%. Not so exciting. In 1 year, down to 2.5%. Money market yields would decline. Investors would be better served by being actively invested in stocks and bonds.
So if this guy is predicting that and the Fed has come out and said probably maybe one more hike or something like that, are the banks or whoever offers, say, CDs or the Treasury bonds or the money markets lowering what they pay for a 12-month deposit?
12-month deposits on the Fed on T-bills right now, we're still at the 5.3 to 5.4 range. They're maintaining. They're basically flat. For 90 days and 1 year, they're almost the same. Now, that's interesting. That would also indicate by that very yield curve right now, just because you asked, Ron, that most likely we're at or near the peak. Wouldn't you agree, Heidi?
Yep. We're close to getting to the crest of that graph. And that's why we're saying, hey, you know, what you were saying about it feels comfortable, it feels great to actually earn interest rate on your savings.
It does.
We've been so programmed for the last decade that we're not going to get anything for that. And now we can. And it's hard to say, oh, I don't want to give that up. But what you're saying is things are changing, so maybe we need to look at some other opportunities.
Where's the beef? Where's the opportunity? And as Heidi mentioned that, I get it. We fall into the same thing. Because I said to clients yesterday, isn't this incredible? We're looking at 5+ interest rates right now. Who would have thought that would have happened? Did anybody guess a year ago? If somebody would have said, just thinking back, we're going to be at 5 in a year, you would have looked at them and said, yeah, what are you smoking? Seriously. Right? Well, you may not have said that. But you know what I'm saying. If you agree that the Fed is nearly finished hiking and that cash yields may decline over time, the question is, of course, where to invest today. After the Fed's final hike in the last four cycles, both equity and fixed income returns were strong in the year that followed. Importantly, for long-term investors, these sectors maintained relative strength over a five-year period. So, a great example of this, is that I said the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Index is a bond index. A popular benchmark for high-quality core bond funds had a yield to worst of 5%. I'm not going to explain what that is. At the end of August, that's roughly double its 10-year average. So those yields are almost double the 10-year average. As this income potential today provides a solid starting point for total return. What they're saying in this article, and I'm going to make it short, is that if yields decline by nearly 1% based on an average maturity of 6.25 years, which is not that long, 6.25 years, the gain would be for those holding those kinds of bonds about 6% in the coming year. That's where the potential is. Well, what if it's only half that amount? If the gain is only half that at 3, plus you're getting a yield of 4.5 to 5, you can add. That number all of a sudden sounds really quite compelling. So looking at bonds along with other parts of investments, even though they were disappointing in 22, that's what this article is stating. And in even being conservative, making selective purchases right now and or reallocations, it's an opportunity because your risk is called reinvestment risk, missing out. We've all heard of FOMO, the fear of missing out. That's where we're at. For stocks, when the Fed stops tightening, one risk for the financial system dissipates. And as companies and consumers see their borrowing costs stabilize and eventually begin to decline, it provides a boost to the economy and corporate profits. Historically, equity investors have seen the benefit. So we can see what will happen as a result of this. A balanced portfolio tends to hold more defensive positions in dividend-paying stocks and high-quality bonds. And if the economy slows or falls into recession, it could provide some resilience as well. So the traditional diversified portfolio can make, we're saying, a significant difference in the coming year. So you, this is a great opportunity to review such things with your financial advisor and or Prout Financial Design as well, given what we see as the opportunities coming in this next year.
All right, we have questions for you.
You betcha, sir.
For y'all. By the way, the money market thing, liquid, is that so if you put money in, you could get up to 5% interest, but is it for a time, certain amount of time?
No.
Ah.
I mean, you can write a check on those things, usually.
How about that? No wonder money markets are at an all-time high, did you say?
Yes.
Money market deposits?
Yes. They're at $5.6 trillion.
Yeah.
A huge number, even relative to money funds, yeah.
Here's a question from someone that says, when you switch companies, I guess from take a new job, when you switch companies, is it better to switch your 401k into the new company or take the money out and take it to a financial advisor?
I wish I could give a blanket answer, but I really can't. I would say it depends. Here are the five things I look at. How's the new 401k? How are they? What are your IRA options? Do you have Roth? What's your age? What's your age? Yeah, in essence, how soon are you going to retire? So will you need that income? And if, you know, age can be critically important. Are you 55 or greater? You know, if you've retired from that company, and will you need access? Probably four and or five. Will you need access to that money right away? So some relatively simple markers, if you will. But sit down with an advisor initially and talk with them about that. And we're happy to do that as well to help you gauge which is better. Many times we're telling people to stick with the current plan. Sometimes not. I'll just say it that way.
All right. So really, each situation is different.
It is very different, yes, sir.
Are you personally invested in gold certificates or IRAs?
I don't own gold certificates. I'm not sure what those are. But I do have IRAs personally, Roth IRAs and IRAs. And I'll just say it, I also own gold and silver.
Okay.
I own this stuff. As a diversified strategy.
You see Dennis's teeth and his earrings. There's a lot of gold there.
I did say to the dentist.
Heavily Tuesday, invested.
I said to the dentist Tuesday, I said, you know, I think I had a small, just because you wanted to know, cavity right there. And I said, it was on my front tooth. I said, man, I need a gold tooth. He said, no, you don't. That's way too expensive. Way too expensive.
Here's one that says, a big shout out to everyone at Prout Financial for the top-notch Medicare 101 class yesterday. From the moment we arrived with a warm welcome to the professional presenters, the lunch, and the beautiful learning center, we were very impressed and grateful for the opportunity. Thanks to everyone involved.
Wow,
that's
how
really
nice.
That's really nice.
Isn't that great?
We did have a really good time yesterday afternoon for our Lunch and Learn program.
That is really kind. Thank you. I love doing those classes. We have classes coming up, which I had the list earlier.
I think you have SLUSE coming up next.
October 18th is the Roth class. John Sluice is November.
Yes.
Now, the Roth class with Heidi, right?
It's my favorite type of account.
It is going to be a great course, and we'll give you lunch, the whole thing. It's 1 hour. We keep it right at 1 hour. We're actively involved with that, and the classroom was full yesterday. That was really fun to see. It really was. And as I looked out and started the intro, I thought, almost absentmindedly, every seat is taken. That was fantastic. So we love doing those classes. It was a dream 2 years ago to be able to have a classroom. We weren't sure that it would be, if people would come on over, and they are, and we're grateful.
Prout really Financial are. Design, New World Headquarters, 8th and Garfield.
You bet.
And it is really, it's roomy, it's clean and comfortable, and you're able to serve food there and the lunch, the learning center. It's beautiful.
Yep. And you don't have to be a client. We welcome anyone who wants to learn. And all you have to do is call our office and make a reservation. And we'd love to have you see you there.
Yeah. Our phone number 231-947-3992 if you want to sign up for a class and or just find out when they are. Beth can help you with that and or Melissa. And, again, we're going to be talking more about those courses here in the coming weeks. But, we are geared for those. Yes, another question.
Yes, my full retirement age is 66 and a half, being born May 22nd, 1957. Should I take my first payment in November or December?
This must mean Social Security, I'm hoping.
Yeah, so my full retirement is 66 and a half,
yeah,
born
it's
in May.
That's got to be what they're talking about. Yeah.
So 6 and 5, so 11, I guess. They would be 66 and a half in November on the 22nd of November. So should they take their first payment in November or December, Social Security?
Isn't this interesting? I mean that. I'm serious, but it sounds funny. I just can't. In the last 9 months or so, we've had two clients we've had conversations about. They did not understand that 70 was the drop-dead date for Social Security. Well, I'm still working. That was a conversation with them. Well, I can't take Social Security. Yes, you can. You're not going to take any cuts for it. You are going to pay some more in tax because you're getting more income. Mm. But after age 70, you're done. I mean, you have to start taking those benefits because you're not going to profit anymore and you're going to be losing out. So that there's still that much confusion about this. Now, it doesn't matter when you begin collecting. The longer you wait, you will get an increase, 1/12 in essence of 8% per year that you wait, plus whatever increases you might see on the cost of living if you haven't collected for that year. So when you decide to collect is really up to you.
On this one, I think they're saying 66 and a half is my full retirement.
Sure.
It looks like they don't want to go a month early. They want to make sure they hit it. So if they turn 66 and a half November 22nd, should they try to get that first full retirement payment in November or wait a month till December? And probably Social Security would help with that, wouldn't they, Bob?
Ask Social Security.
Yeah.
Bob Simpson and the gang over there could really help you out with that.
We'll have to ask Bob the next time he's on.
Because it depends how they process it when they send the checks out. Yeah.
There is somewhat of a cut if you take it before full retirement age, and if that's your drop-dead date, if you will, I think you do want to wait until December, the month after that. But that would be a great question to ask them down there at Social Security, and they are very helpful. Okay.
Someone said my savings account's paying almost 5%. What's APY?
Annual percentage.
Okay. Why not just leave it there? Why not just leave the money there?
If that's your padding money, the money you need for emergencies and or current uses, great question. And the answer is, indeed, leave it there. But if it's too much, it's well over what you really should have invested short term, then take a look at longer term investments that can improve your rate from 5, potentially, to greater.
And finally, I don't know if you can answer this one. Not that you don't have the ability to, but I don't know if you're limited as to what you can say, but what percentage of gold and silver would you recommend for your portfolio?
For someone that can stand the risk, you know, really look at the history of silver. I use Monex.com, M-O-N-E-X, because they have got some great graphs. And they also do a lot. All they do is bullion type coins. They don't do the collectibles and all the noisy stuff. But, you know, everybody has their own and that's fine. Everybody has their own dealer, if you will. But take a look at how volatile silver can be. It is extremely volatile. Gold, somewhat less so, before you consider investing. And if you do want to dip your toe in, go down to the local dealer and pick up $500 worth, if you will, so that you get acclimated to that. That's what I would advise someone who was sitting with me. Understanding the risk and your portfolio and your need for savings and all the rest, the big picture. If you're able to invest for the longer term, what's a good percentage? 2, 5, 10, depending on your risk tolerance. Some clients have invested up to 20%. Everyone is different. Everyone is different. Okay. Now, Heidi has the next portion, 4 high-income-seeking investment strategies for a high-rate world.
Right, and this article also comes to us from the Capital Group or American Funds, and it really tags along with the article that Dennis referenced in the first segment of the show. So they're talking about bonds in this article, that things are looking up for the bond markets. So in an ideal world, achieving high income against this backdrop would be as easy as parking cash in a relatively low-risk money market fund and hoping it grows. Mm. So just like we were talking about, putting all that extra cash in the money market. But the reality is more nuanced. Rates are likely to fall from here, so it's unrealistic to expect returns from cash and cash-like investments to stay at the current levels long term. So we're enjoying them right now in the short term, but the outlook, is we're saying, is not looking as solid for those same type of returns. So we may need to look elsewhere. In fact, the return potential for the record 5.5 $5 trillion sitting in money market funds will likely decline as inflation falls and the Fed concludes its rate increases. The jury is out on just how quickly or when exactly rates will fall. So nobody knows exactly when this is going to happen. And although the outlook is rosier because the economy is not out of the woods yet. As rate increases continue to impose much higher borrowing costs on companies and consumers. So it costs a lot more for people to borrow money as those interest rates go up. And that tends to have a drag on the economy. So their first strategy, according to these two authors of the articles, and they are principal investment officers at the American Funds Group. They say seek to capture attractive yields before rates fall. Yields soared and bond prices tumbled in 2022 as elevated and persistent inflation pushed the Fed to raise interest rates at a breakneck pace. And that's what we've talked about in the first segment, how fast that was and how unusual that was. So despite the lingering uncertainties about the economy, one thing is clear. The rise in rates created many paths to strong income and return potential in the bond market.
Now, history can really help us here because in the mid-80s, money market funds were yielding 16%, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, now this seems so... there are some similarities here that are helpful to think about because I was there when that was happening. I was in this industry. And the conversation, I'll just call him Paul because that's his name, said, I can't believe it. I can't talk clients out of that 16% rate right now, and we can get him a treasury for 15 or whatever that rate was. It was near that level. He said the opportunity is just incredible. But they will not take that 1% or 1.5%, whatever it was at that time, less to lock in that rate. And looking at in history, in retrospect, they would have made huge gains in that kind of investment.
Mm-hmm.
So significant there and helpful, perhaps.
Right. So the article goes on, and this is something that I agreed with them. They said, getting here has been painful. I mean, think about 2022 was painful, and sort of it's, I always describe it, this is the lemonade from the lemons of last year, is that we have some new opportunities. So if inflation continues to ease and economic growth remains sluggish, rates will likely decline somewhat from here while remaining higher than investors have become accustomed to in recent years. So then going on to their second point, which is consider investment-grade bonds, why the fundamentals are strong. So they're talking about here are corporate bonds. And corporate bonds vary from very highly ranked, those are your AAA bonds, to all the way down to the Bs, where we have triple B bonds. So you want to be careful when you're buying bonds that you know how they're ranked, and that is the stability and how fundamentally sound the company is.
And, of course, you also generally want to go toward bond funds so you don't have the individual risk of the, you know, someone or a company defaulting, okay? Default risk declines dramatically.
And in this part of the article, they talk about how consumers continue to power the economy. And while there has been some softening, trends remain encouraging with firm labor markets and steady consumer spending for leisure and travel activities. So many companies have been able to pass on cost from the inflation onto consumers, which has bolstered the corporate fundamentals, including profits, money they have on hand, the ability to pay off their debt. And so they're in a better position to be able to do that. Then we go on to the third section, which says, look to high-yield bonds where the stars appeared aligned. So how do we know if the stars are aligning is the difficult part of that. So investors with a time horizon of at least a year, some risks may appear worth taking. So far this year, starting yields of around 8% have provided a buffer against bond market volatility tied to the Fed's rate path. In turn, that has helped to support solid returns for the year-to-date period ending on August 29th. And that just they're talking about the strength of the market, the increase in the yields, and how much more attractive they are.
Now, the yield spread then would tell us it's about 3.5% to 4%. The last time we saw those kind of yield spreads, I can't even say. It's been a long time. So that means, generally, that there's more value in high-yield bonds. And you're getting a much better yield. Now, high-yield bonds are certainly more risky, of course. But that yield spread is high enough. If that yield spread comes down, that means the value of your investment went up, put simply. Okay? Yeah. Go ahead, Heidi.
Okay. So they talk about the companies and lower leverage and improved operations have increased the number of rising stars or companies that have been upgraded out of the high yield territory. So what they're saying is because of the economy and companies doing better, they have more financial stability. So they're better able to move up in their rankings and how the probability that they'll be able to meet their debt restrictions. When you look at a company and they are higher risk, then if they offer a bond, they usually have to offer a higher interest rate than maybe a very financial stable company because it's riskier. And then to entice those investors, they have to have a higher rate. And that's what they talk about when they're talking about those higher leveraged or higher risk bonds. So that's where you get into those rankings. But one challenge ahead is the potential consequence of higher borrowing costs or the interest rate. At some point, higher rates may lead to weaker credit profiles and lower valuations. This process could be gradual rather than abrupt, and investing in high-yield bonds today may help offset future volatility associated with a slowdown. So they're sort of saying lock in now. Which brings us to our very last point, which is diversify your income investments. We've talked about this all the time on the show. Diversify, diversify, diversify. So if you invest across different bond sectors and different markets like emerging markets or secured markets, you will have a better overall risk avoidance by diversifying among different types. So always come back to diversification, but bonds could be something that you may want to take a look at and jumping now, why things look good.
Excellent point. Diversification, there was an article this morning reading about the habits and investing styles of millionaires, and that is a key component of their investing concern or focus, and that's what we want to emulate. The sensibility of diversification, because again, we don't know the future. And because we don't know that, we can see also what's currently going on and how we might address those issues in the longer term, given that reality. What's the best investment to have? There isn't a best, but falling back to diversification and having a variety of income type investments, as well as possibly equities in a portfolio, given your risk tolerance, that tends to improve your rate of return and control risk so that you personally can stay invested when things don't move in your direction. And that's key, because we saw that in March of 2020 when the market hit the lowest point it had hit in some time. That next April, a month later, was the best month in 30 years. The best month in 30 years. So being able to stay invested, that's a huge part of a great portfolio for you, okay?
That's right.
If you would, Nathan. Prout, sir.
Yes. So in a recent Harris Poll survey, 70% of millionaires said that they work with a financial advisor, compared to just 37% for the general population. 53% of millionaires said their financial advisor was their most trusted source of financial advice, with spouses and partners ranking a distant second at just 11%. That's according to Northwestern Mutual. It's not according to us, I promise.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, okay, are they sharpening their own staff or sword with that one?
For the first time since April of 2003, monthly imports from Mexico into the U.S. exceeded imports from China on a trailing 12-month average basis.
Now, hang on a second. That one, when we were talking about the show beforehand, that one just blew my mind. Mexico is ahead of China? Yes.
That's correct, yes.
Who would have thought?
Since peaking at 21.55% of average total imports in March of 2018, imports from China have accounted for just 14.43% of total imports over the last 12 months, compared to 14.84% from Mexico.
As an also a very interesting report that companies are less and less interested in trying to operate in China, and it's, well, no wonder. You know, try to operate over in that place? Seriously, you know, who wants to try to do that?
All right. So according to CNBC, a recent survey found that 41% of workers do not contribute to a 401k or employer-sponsored retirement plan. Of the nearly 6 in 10 workers who do participate in those plans, nearly half, or 46%, max out their contributions. 24% put in as much as their employer will match, and 8% save whatever the default amount is that their employer sets.
So you're not yet a millionaire? Here comes the preachy part. For those who can, raise the rates of what you're saving. That seems so simplistic. Think longer term. Raise the rate, the amount that you're saving. If you're at 8% of income, increase it to 10. You get an increase in your pay. Take a portion of it, put it in your 401k. You'll be amazed what happens. I've seen it again and again. Well, what's my net worth? Well, it's your house. It's any lands that you own. Other rentals, perhaps. Other properties. All of a sudden, those assets all together grow to a point that you'll be surprised. And will you feel any different when you're a millionaire? No. The clients I talk to, that they say, and millionaires overall, really don't feel that wealthy. They don't.
What's that book, The Millionaire's
Next
Dad?
Next Door. The Millionaire Next Door.
That author is going to be in Traverse City next week for a private fundraiser for Congressman Jack Bergman.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I'll come in and
yeah. Thank you, Ron. Hmm? Go ahead, Nathan.
Yep. So of the current 18,000-plus Wall Street analyst ratings for large-cap Russell 1000 stocks, 54.6% are buys, which is down 2.2 percentage points from a reading of 56.8% at the end of 2022. Across the 11 major sectors, analysts are most bullish on energy, where 61.1% of ratings are buys, while they're the least bullish on consumer staples, which have just 46.7% buy ratings.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, so that's the end of it, eh, Ron?
The clock, she ticks along. So
I told you. We could have gone for 2 hours.
We could have gone for 2 hours. Yeah.
Thank you, Ron, so much, by the way.
Prout Financial Design, it. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, Nathan Prout. Remember, proutfinancialdesign.com or call 947-3992 for questions.
You bet.